WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A senior official at the Kremlin says the 30-day ceasefire proposed by the U.S. and accepted by Ukraine would help Ukraine by offering a break to its military. No official announcement on whether the proposal is being accepted by Russia. U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff is in Moscow today. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Canada today for a meeting with G7 leaders. Ukraine, military funding, and the impending trade war are all expected to be topics. Today marks 4 full weeks in the hospital for Pope Francis.
Pope Francis continues to undergo respiratory therapy during the day and at night at Rome's Gemelli Hospital. In its latest statement, the Vatican said a chest X-ray performed on Tuesday confirmed improvements in the pontiff's condition, which had been recorded by doctors over previous days.
ABC's Tom Sophie Burridge in Rome. Columbia University grad student Mahmoud Khalil will remain in detention in Louisiana until at least next week while Trump administration tries to deport him. This is ABC News. Idaho is becoming the first state in the country to make firing squad the preferred method of execution. ABC's Alex Stone reports.
Days after South Carolina executed the first U.S. inmate by firing squad in almost 15 years, now Idaho Governor Brad Little signing a bill into law making firing squad the primary method for executing death row inmates in his state. Idaho has 9 inmates on death row. The state still has to modify its execution chamber with bulletproof glass and decide how the firing squad will be carried out. It's likely to be a mechanical method of buttons that are pushed that fire guns, some with blanks and some with live rounds, rather than humans holding guns. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Engineers at SpaceX are hoping to get their rocket back up soon. A hydraulic issue forced them to scrub yesterday's launch. The rocket was supposed to bring stranded astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore back to Earth after 9 months on the International Space Station. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Sheriff Todd Scarbin with an important message. Law enforcement teams from across Wisconsin work extremely hard to keep you safe, especially from violent crime. When liberal judges refuse to actually punish violent criminals, it undermines the entire criminal justice system. Some liberal judges, like Susan Crawford, do just that, and her record proves it. Crawford gave 4 years to a guy who sexually assaulted a 6-year-old. She gave 2 years to a guy who beat up his girlfriend and also shot a man. And Crawford gave only 90 days for a guy who brutally beat and strangled a woman. We need a Supreme Court judge who will make public safety a top priority, who will interpret the rule of law in a firm but fair manner, and will not legislate from the bench. More than 80 sheriffs agree liberal Judge Susan Crawford would make it harder for us to keep you safe.
Call Susan Crawford at 608-266-4231 and tell her to stop releasing dangerous criminals. Paid for by WMC Issues Mobilization Council.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Big Ten tournament action today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers in Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament. They take on the Northwestern Wildcats, who beat Minnesota yesterday 72-64 to advance to today's round. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he spent much time breaking down why his team lost at home last weekend to Penn State.
I probably have dissected it deeper and more intensely and harder than anybody else, just because I knew it wasn't one right now we needed to spend a lot of time on as a team. I did, because I wanted to really dissect the issues.
In New York, the Marquette Golden Eagles against Xavier today in the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. NFL free agency Packers center Josh Myers leaving Green Bay, signing a 1-year deal with the New York Jets. Running back A.J. Dillon, who missed last season with a neck injury, signing a 1-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Eric Stone Street is expanding his acting talents. The hilarious and Emmy-winning Stone Street, who played Cam on Modern Family for 9 seasons, has agreed to a role on Dexter. Stone Street will play Dexter's estranged brother, who he was separated from at a young age. You can catch Eric Stone Street on Dexter Sunday nights on Showtime. Hate speech and toxic social media users had to take a powder this past Monday when Twitter, also referred to as X, experienced outages, leaving anonymous users and bots with nowhere to spew their disinformation. Angry young men who hide behind avatars and fake screen IDs probably experienced calm for the first time in the last few years. Better a Twitter malfunction than a Cybertruck. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are tracking a powerful spring storm system that could bring some thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. Rain through Saturday with rain changing to snow late Saturday night into Sunday. It's going to be windy with the system too. Otherwise, today, partly cloudy, 64. Tomorrow, our high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it illegal for a law firm to represent someone the government doesn't like? Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
That's me, but not in the Lake Wissota studio. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, and live from Madison, where we held a forum last night, a three-part panel discussion about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, with all kinds of great panelists. My thanks to everybody who participated, organized, attended, or listened across the Civic Media Radio Network to let people know about the stakes of the race. And we'll talk more about that coming up in a bit. We also have for guests this hour, State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe and State Representative Alex George with an update on what your legislature is doing under the big top here in Madison. Luke Mathers will be along later in the program as well. But first, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here because it's no longer just a temperature roller coaster. It is a weather roller. It is a season roller coaster. Which season are we in at any given part? Brittany, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am fantastic, but this storm is a doozy. Like you said, it's bringing a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Before I get the details, you asked before, you said something about how fancy this studio looks here in Madison. I'm going to move to the side for a second here. And I know it's a blurry background. I had to, because it was just a plain white wall here in one of the studios at Civic Media World HQ. I was looking for a place to plug in my laptop. And thankfully, Luke Mathers is here and was able to crawl underneath the console here to find where is the one, because the only other outlet is behind my head here on the wall. It's directly behind my head.
Yeah,
5 feet up on the wall. No idea why there's an electrical outlet there, of all places. So
that's hysterical.
It's always fun to learn the facilities around here.
Yes, it is.
But always great when Mr. Mathers assists as well. So now back to this roller coaster. You take us through the ride.
Yes. Okay. So today we are going up that hill. It is fantastic. I mean, clear skies out there right now. A sunny day ahead. Temperatures this morning are in the 20s to mid 30s. And we're going to become breezy as we go through this afternoon. The winds are going to be out of the south, warming us right up to the mid-60s, all for the south and western areas of the state. Probably some mid-50s, still northeast, because we're going to be battling a lake breeze off of Lake Michigan. So a gorgeous, comfortable day today. It's the calm before the storm. And hey, if the clouds don't roll in around midnight, we do have a total lunar eclipse going on tonight. So if you can check that out, it's around midnight to 3 a.m., that's, of course, when the Earth casts a shadow on the moon and it's going to appear a red color. So pretty cool, but we might have clouds here already because we've got a big system moving in and it is going to bring us mostly cloudy skies for tomorrow. We do have a chance for some overnight to early morning small storms. This, of course, is the warm front lifts through the state. Those will not be strong or severe, but don't be alarmed if you hear some rumbles of thunder while you're sleeping. So tomorrow, it'll be windy and warm and kind of muggy. We're going to have some dew points that are going to be sticky. We haven't felt this in quite a while. Winds are going to be whipping around 30 miles per hour tomorrow. It's going to push our highs to the low to mid 70s. So extreme warmth out there, but it's not going to be the best day. Like I said, it's cloudy, it's dreary. We've got those storms in the morning and then a big strong line moving in at night. This wants to move into our western areas by 9 o'clock, pushing in towards Madison, central Wisconsin around 10:30, and uplifted lists up to the Fox Valley, Wausau area around 11 o'clock, and then the rest of the areas after midnight. So what we're looking at is a slight risk for them to be strong to severe from La Crosse to Milwaukee. That means we could see damaging wind gusts approaching 70 miles per hour possible. Some hail is possible in this line of storms. And then also some brief spin-ups of tornadoes could be in that line as well. So yes, it's still technically winter, but when you have this crazy warm-up with a crazy cool-down following it, and that's what's happening, a cold front is moving through Friday night, sparking up these strong to severe storms. So when you mix those two air masses, you usually get some trouble there. So be weather savvy Friday night as that moves through.
And then...
I know. Well, let me catch my breath. Okay. And then Saturday.
Oh, boy.
Saturday? Oh, my God.
Hang on. We'll get to part two. We need a commercial break in the middle of Brittany's forecast here.
We do.
Just for a moment here, Robin Tigerton tells us we had a very beautiful moonset and a pink sunrise. So while we're talking about the moon and the sun here, he says, good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy, 24 degrees with frost, some wet spots on the roads. Sidewalks could be slippery in spots. I'll have part two of what Rob had to say right after part two of Brittany Merlot's forecast. Here she is.
All right, here we go. So part two is Saturday. So now we're going to see our temperatures starting to become a little bit cooler. Nothing drastic, but we'll fall to the 40s and the 50s. We'll see some light rain throughout Saturday. And then the cold moves in. That dry air blasts us. It's still going to be windy out there. Gusts up to about 30, 40 miles per hour. Now the winds are going to be pulling in below freezing temperatures. So you know that that rain is going to flip to snow all across the state. So it's going to start into the northwestern areas Saturday evening, and then throughout the overnight and by Sunday morning, the eastern areas are going to be seeing this light snowfall. Now we could pick up a couple of inches, and then it'll kick on out of here for Monday, and we'll start to warm things back up for early next week. And I will tell you, there's another big storm middle of next week too. So
what I always say, winter doesn't end until it breaks you. And we are heading in that territory quickly. More from Robin Tigerton. I love the original Frankie Valli, Four Seasons, Oh What a Night song. It's my favorite Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons song of all time, and it's on the music playlist on my phone. Brittany, thank you, he goes on, so much for all those recent beautiful days being outside walking and taking pictures. And as far as the... there's a Facebook commenter as well by the name of Luke about the outlet behind my head. Got to plug my future flat screen somewhere. Puts Luke Mathers on Facebook. So we've got to suspend that account. Brittany, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now we appreciate you. The forecast, not so much.
We like you. The weather is more like...
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brittany. Talk to you later. Bye, all right. We were mentioning before here at 7:13 on Up North News Radio that members of Congress have not been holding as many in-person events and instead have been going with the teletown halls, as it were. In our last hour, we read one critique of what was put on by Congressman Derek Van Orden and, shall we say, the truth stretching that was going on. Before that, Baylor Spears at the Wisconsin Examiner did a write-up of a recent teletown hall by new Congressman Tony Weed, who Baylor writes defended President Trump and billionaire Elon Musk's work inside the Trump administration Monday evening. During his first town hall, he was joined by Congressman Tom Tiffany as well, who helped answer questions from callers, is how Baylor writes it. There were some questions that participants could answer using their keypad. And these are just so blatantly typical of what you'll hear here. One of the questions that Tony Weed and Tom Tiffany put out was, do you believe the federal government spends too much taxpayer money? Now, interestingly, in the olden days, meaning before Trump 2.0, you probably would have gotten a healthy majority of people saying, yes, the federal government spends too much money. Of course, they didn't mean on themselves, but that overall it spends too much money. But as people have been learning through all these punishing cuts that they're, even though they're spending that doesn't benefit them, but very definitely benefits somebody else who is worthy of this, like, you know, humanitarian aid, medical research, veterans health care. Well, even in this, loaded question from two Republican congressmen, and do you believe the federal government spends too much taxpayer money? 43% said yes, 57% said no. And of course, there was the question, do you believe men should be allowed to participate in women's sports? Because again, attacking the trans community is apparently one of the high priorities that's been going on. There were questions about Medicare and Medicaid, where again, Trump and others have said that there won't be any cuts to Medicare or Medicaid, even though callers asked about it as well. Weed and Tiffany said they want to protect Medicaid, but that lawmakers will be looking for savings, including by potentially establishing work requirements for the program and keeping, quote, illegal immigrants from accessing the program. Illegal immigrants, as they put it, undocumented immigrants, don't access the program. They pay into the program through paid deductions, but then can't sign up for them. And so their work is subsidizing all kinds of Americans who get health care and an old age pension as a result of their contributions. You kick out the immigrants, you kick out the workers, you kick out those contributions, and it actually makes Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid that much less stable. Tiffany said there are too many able-bodied adults on Medicaid, and rhetorically asked if we want them getting help from the federal government and from you, the taxpayer. He implied that these people should get a job so they can get insurance through their employer. And then, of course, he went on to attack, again, quote, illegal immigrants. Again, this whole notion of able-bodied people on Medicaid. Much like, I would say, there are veterans who claim disabilities, and some of them run for Congress or other political office. But in all cases, we don't know their full diagnosis. We don't know what it is that a disability is based on. We also don't know if those folks that you think are able-bodied are actually full-time caregivers, and you just happen to see them at the grocery store and go, oh, well, he or she looks just fine. What are they getting benefits for? But if you can cast doubt on enough people in politics, you can make it look like everything is a waste. Now, again, there are always going to be a few people who are taking advantage of any given program. But to paint with a broad brush and say, well, therefore, we have to have these huge slashing cuts to Medicaid and other programs is throwing out the baby with the bathwater. But this is the kind of logic, the kind of attacks, the kind of division that we're seeing from Tony Weed and from Tom Tiffany in their teletown hall. They went on to defend Elon Musk and everything that he's been doing to take a wrecking ball to the federal budget, saying that Elon Musk isn't firing anybody, meaning that it all comes back to Donald Trump, if you want to believe that Trump is actually monitoring every little thing that Elon Musk is doing. So this is what we will continue to hear over the coming weeks, and we'll ask if there's any red line that President Trump can cross where they will stand up for their constituents instead, and we'll continue waiting for some kind of an encouraging answer. More after this, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Madison this morning on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness and, more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Oh, glory, glory. Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined.
Every comment is on today's birthday list for our history lesson, which you can hear every morning, weekdays, 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. There is some Big Ten Conference Tournament action in men's basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers will be playing Northwestern. Coverage begins at 12:30 on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Richland Center. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn a little bit more. You can also catch what we're doing at Up North News either at upnorthnewswi.com or through our daily newsletter. Sign up at that website, and you'll get all kinds of great stories that Christina Laurie puts together every weekday. And then I do a political edition of the newsletter that comes out on Sundays. In today's newsletter, Christina is already looking ahead towards St. Paddy's Day and talks about where to find the best corned beef in time for the big holiday. There's a little talk about dying beers, you know, D-Y-E, you know, how do you get green beer on St. Patrick's Day and how much dye is needed for that? It's actually less than you think. And a story about the Nuglaris Brewing Company, the folks who give you Spotted Cow, and how they are now offering tours of their original factory. That's just some of what you'll find at our newsletter. Again, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Appreciate you being here today. We've got on the text line Tiffany from River Falls saying that I'm looking at that beautiful reddish pink moonset right now near Prescott. And we appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us. I want to take a moment to thank the folks who took part in our forum over here in Madison at the Overture Center last night. Again, just a wonderful turnout on three different topics. We talked about the future of public education in Wisconsin, because again, this next Supreme Court is going to hear a challenge to Act 10 and a challenge to voucher schools. Todd Alba was the moderator, and we were joined by Julie Mead, who is a retired UW-Madison School of Education professor, a professor on school law. So we talked about the law and how it relates to public education and the things that the Supreme Court could decide on. There was our friend Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. There was Peggy Wirtz-Olson from WEAC and State Representative Christian Phelps of Eau Claire, all giving wonderful remarks on the importance of protecting public education in Wisconsin and the role that a state Supreme Court could play in either defending or weakening Wisconsin public education. Our second panel was about the economy, making sure we have an economy that works. How do you not have a state Supreme Court that's in the back pocket of Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and other big business groups? Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and political editor for Civic Media moderated that panel. Joining him were State Representative Francesca Hong of Madison, State Representative Supreme Moore Omukunde of Milwaukee, and then regular show contributors Melissa Baldoff from our Climate Check segment, and Joe Zepecki. And again, just fantastic responses about things that people may not necessarily think of. But when it comes to protecting the environment, protecting workers' rights, protecting consumer rights, these are all things that are going to come into play depending on whether the court is controlled by conservatives or progressives coming up on April 1st. And then I moderated the final panel, reproductive rights being on the ballot. I spoke earlier about the presentation by Heather Martell of Chippewa Falls, who completely humanized an issue that is just made too political and too abstract by politicians. And Heather truly brought it home, along with Dr. Eliza Bennett, an obstetrician gynecologist, Michelle Velasquez of the Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and Senator Kelda Royce of Madison. Wonderful to have them all there talking about these topics. And then folks stuck around for a debate watch party to watch Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel, the former state attorney general, and the Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. And the moderators from WISN TV in Milwaukee did a very good job. They did the best they could, given that state Supreme Court races, judicial races nowadays, have become nothing like what the court actually does. And people noticed that. They came up to me afterwards during the debate watch party and commented on the difference. That where we were talking about the issues that really impact life in Wisconsin, people and businesses, the environment, schools, and more, so much of that debate was spent cherry-picking a couple of court cases that had more to do with pedophiles and sexual assaults and letting criminals loose on the streets, all of these things that make for horrific campaign ads, but are a sliver of what any given justice would ever see, much less what a judge typically works on. But it makes for great political fodder. And both Crawford and Schimmel did not hesitate to, essentially take every opportunity to point out the shortcomings of their opponent on this handful of cases. And while there are valid points to be made about these cases, don't get me wrong, I'm not minimizing public safety, but we expect public safety to be a joint endeavor of law enforcement, of crime prevention, of local prosecutors and judges for cases that may eventually get to a state Supreme Court for ruling on matters of the law and whether a particular case was handled appropriately in terms of the law. A Supreme Court does not hear any case of sexual assault and then render whether it happened or not, much less micromanaging, say, the testing of rape kits. Again, all valid issues, but just a subset of what we would expect from a state Supreme Court. So again, I'm very grateful to everybody who attended and listened across the Civic Media Radio Network, because I think that those are the folks who will talk to their friends and neighbors. And all of us listening to this program know it. We are tuned into this program because we're either news junkies, political junkies. We just like to be informed on what's happening around the state. We all have friends, as I told the audience last night. We all have friends who call us, sometimes literally from the voting booth, and saying, hey, how am I voting on this thing? And now every one of those folks has a little bit more information to say, yeah, I know the commercials said this, but keep in mind, this is how this race would actually affect you, your school, your clean water, your job, and so forth. So forgive me for patting ourselves on the back, but it was our first ever live event. I was thrilled with how it turned out. And so there is no doubt that we will do it again. And once again, try to really bring to you the real impact of politics, policy, and elections on life in Wisconsin. We've got two legislative guests after this. You're up north. A king became regal, saw the face of Jim Crow
under a bald ego. No one can win the war individually. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Tariff talk was the dominant conversation yesterday at the Professional Dairy Producers Business Conference. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. That conference continues today at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Chuck Nicholson, dairy economist on the UW-Madison campus, says dairy should stay engaged in the tariff conversation. While dairy's big business for Wisconsin, it's about a $9 billion a year export value for the United States. Lots of money, but just a drop in the bucket when it compares to other tariff targets. Nicholson says what you need to ask yourself, how many other countries are thinking about U.S. dairy?
Their decisions about those retaliatory tariffs are going to be the things that matter. And I think we learned in our experience in a previous Trump administration that other countries know that agriculture is kind of a particularly politically sensitive place where they can try to get back at us. And so whatever we do, they may retaliate in a way that's a little bit stronger and bigger in agriculture and dairy because they know that's something that gets people's attention in the United States.
Chuck Nicholson, he's a dairy economist on the UW-Madison campus. The Professional Dairy Producers Annual Business Conference wraps up this afternoon in Madison.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And Skelly's Farm Market in Janesville was selected as the 2025 Governor's Innovation Tourism Award. Skelly's started using cutting-edge technology back in 1998 to create corn mazes, something they continue to do today, plus developing a cutting-edge mobile app that guests can use. Skelly's Farm Market, along with Busy Barn in Fort Atkinson, Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover, and the Green Bay Packers NFL Draft Team in Green Bay, were nominated by the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can find out more at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's a look at food news on a Thursday. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We are tracking a powerful spring storm system that could bring some thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. Rain through Saturday with rain changing to snow late Saturday night into Sunday. It's going to be windy with the system too. Otherwise, today, partly cloudy, 64. Tomorrow, our high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Here's another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK. 4K orientation for Amory students is coming Friday, April 25th. For students who will be 4K this fall, please register in advance. For more information, contact Aline Elementary School at 715-268-9771, extension 262. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll discuss the Supreme Court debate and also a blood moon rising. We'll give you the details. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Well, you can't say I didn't warn you. During today's history lesson, I noted that today is National Popcorn Day, and I did warn you, some kind of terrible song was coming up as a result, and this 1972 hit by a group called Hot Butter is called Popcorn. And I have an even more terrible story about this song and having to dance to it in second grade. We're going to save that for when Luke Mathers is here in 20 minutes, because we have much more esteemed guests that don't need to hear all about that. That, of course, would be two great legislators, Representative Alex Jores from Wanakee and Senator Melissa Radcliffe from Cottage Grove. Nice to have you both here. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Pat.
Hi, thanks so much. Yes.
and again, thank you. As Greg notes in the chat here, what is this noise? This was a punishment. I didn't mean to punish you, but you know, the bumper music had to go someplace. So thanks again for being here. We have been talking to a lot of first-time legislators since the session started. And I love that almost without fail, they give the analogy of trying to drink from a fire hose in terms of taking in all the information. But the fact of the matter is, it's not just a first year thing. I mean, it's just, it's ongoing. Senator, we'll start with you. I mean, what plates are you spinning or trying to keep spinning most these days?
All of them is kind of part of it.
Yeah.
It is going from the assembly in my first session term to now this session being in the Senate first term. It is a little different, but it's always so busy the first few months. And then we get the budget out and just trying to connect and get that information out to our constituents of what's all in the budget has been really important, while also going to committee hearings and pushing back against bills that are awful for our state. And it's just been a whirlwind, but I enjoy the craziness, I guess.
Yes, you have to have some kind of a genetic abnormality that likes to deal with so much of this, as I can say from personal experience as well. Representative Jores, you're well aware of that. We've had you on before to talk about things like affordable housing and other issues. Are there things that are keeping you especially busy at this point of the session?
Yeah, I mean, like the senator said, it's definitely a busy time in this legislature, and I feel like we're going to committees in session all the time. The budget has been introduced, but I guess I want your listeners to know that, unfortunately, our majority party colleagues, the Republicans that control the legislature, have not put any bills on the governor's desk to sign yet. So we've been working for months, but we haven't passed any bills out of the legislature for him to sign. So this is an odd time for us to be in, where we seem to be working very hard in committee, but unfortunately there's not a lot of legislation going to the governor's desk right now.
No, there's not, because a lot of the bills that come up are things that the governor wouldn't sign even if they get there, or maybe the assembly passes it and then the Senate decides not to take it up. Not the least of which, I know you both have spoken out about the rash of anti-trans bills, for example. You've talked about those. There's also, I want to find the right comment here that came on YouTube. This was from Alicia, who said, I'm sorry I missed your forum last night. I was watching the committee hearing on AB 104. And then she goes on to write, Representative Jores asked some great questions on Tuesday during the committee hearing on AB 102. First off, Alicia, nerd alert. Okay. Second, now I have to have the legislators explain AB 102 and AB 104, which stands for Assembly Bill, by the way. So, Representative Jores, since you were getting the compliments here, talk a bit about some of these matters, what you've been working on.
Yeah, thanks for asking the question, Alicia. I think that, unfortunately, we've seen a collection of bills this session that, again, aren't going to become law, and my Republican colleagues know that. However, they continue to put anti-trans legislation forward to ban them from sports, prevent gender-affirming care, and there's another bill, too. And I want to give give my colleague a minute to speak on this, because Senator Radcliffe has actually testified against each of these bills in committee. I just had one of them in committee earlier this week, and then I'm going to vote against it today because obviously it doesn't solve any problem. It just seeks to divide and exclude and intimidate people in our state that are just trying to live their lives. And that, we don't have time for that.
That does seem to be the theme, Senator, isn't it, of these early bills?
Well, it's thank you, Representative Jors, for being against these bills and your thoughtful questions during the hearing 2 days ago. Now, I am the mom of a transgender son, and so this has been a hard week for me as a mom and as a legislator as well. And fortunately, though, the community, the LGBTQ community, really supports each other, and the love is there. And my Democratic colleagues have also been great on this. I don't want to give the negativity of those bills any more airtime. And we're just going to keep fighting back against the hateful bills that target our trans and non-binary communities.
That's exactly where we take this to pivot back into some of the other business of the legislature. And this week included the beginning of an assembly committee named for a farm animal that apparently is supposed to do these great things for Wisconsin's budget. GOAT stands for what? Government accountability over government operations, accountability and transparency, something along those lines. It's meant to emulate what Elon Musk is doing, but it can't, because the rules at the state level are different. But again, Senator Radcliffe, the fact that we're again looking at attacking government services that help people. One member of the committee is going specifically after diversity, equity, and inclusion. It still sounds like a thing where they say we're going after waste, but it truly seems to indicate misplaced priorities.
Oh, definitely. And I love a baby goat. Don't get me wrong. Like yoga is awesome, but that's not what this committee is at all. And it could do so much more. Unfortunately, it's part of what we've seen with the Republicans who are in the majority in our state. It's about fear mongering. It's in the so many emails and meetings that I've had, people are afraid that they're going to lose access to Medicaid, that they won't be able to get the services that they need that provide really life-saving care to them, even the ability to just participate in daily life, like transport from their home to the doctor or to a pharmacy. And so the fear-mongering that continues to come out of this Republican-led legislature is just awful, because these bills and this work impacts everyone in our state, not just Democratic areas. It really impacts everyone. And so I wish that we could get back to actually doing the work that helps Wisconsin residents, that includes everyone, because Wisconsin, as I know it, should not be excluding anyone or fear-mongering. We need to work on bills that help everyone.
Representative Jors, a related question, but let me take it in a more pointed way. Again, is there something that this GOAT committee could do that breaks free of the divisiveness and just attacking government for the sake of attacking government? Is it possible that they may identify something where you and your Democratic colleagues go, you know, yeah, come to think of it, that does need to be curtailed or scaled back or something? Do you have any sense that could happen?
You know, my colleagues and I are always looking for ways to find waste or fraud or abuse. However, that's not what this committee is doing. And I'll just give you an example of it. And I think you referenced it. The vice chair of this GOAT committee has sent emails requesting essentially, I think, an open records request to cities and counties across our state, many, many cities and counties across our state, asking them to review their programs for DEI initiatives and report back to the committee. Taxpayers already pay for audits and reports so that we can understand what's going on in our government. We don't need the vice chair of this GOAT committee going around to our municipalities asking for them to use their resources to report on programs that are already public. So that's what this committee is doing. I think yesterday they had a hearing and where they brought all the agencies in to talk about how their staff is working. And they came to realize that the agencies are actually saving money by allowing some work from home privileges here. So I think that this is kind of going after something that is already public. This is something that we already know what's happening in our state government. And the fact that we're using taxpayer resources to, you know, find ways to divide our communities, it does, like the senator said, it doesn't get to helping anybody's life be better. It really just is seeking something out, seeking a problem that doesn't exist.
Senator, a somewhat similar question to you, and again, wondering if there's going to be some kind of bipartisan move on something. And in this case, I'm going to talk about Medicaid expansion and then the expansion of postpartum coverage. Now, in both cases, I had said at the start of this session that maybe, after enough Republican legislators had heard from their constituents that they would see the wisdom in expanding Medicaid, or at the very least, expanding postpartum care, since Wisconsin is now one of only two states that has not extended postpartum care to 12 months. And yet it was, just about a week and a half ago, Republicans were crowing about not expanding Medicaid because of all the cuts now that Elon Musk and President Trump are making. So my question to you, in any sense of earnestness, is might we at least see the postpartum expansion if Medicaid expansion, I guess, isn't going to happen again after all? And I see Senator Ratcliffe's got a bit of a weak signal there. So Representative Jurors, I'm going to have you take a tackle that one first.
Of course. I think that what we've seen again is the postpartum Medicaid bill that covers pregnant women extends to a year, has been introduced again, and it has wide bipartisan support. I think I counted earlier that we have a full majority of the assembly on the bill. And now we're coming to a situation where people are calling offices, constituents are calling offices, asking their representative to be on this bill and help it move forward. And again, we are seeing a situation where the speaker is, you know, putting it to a committee on regulatory reform when it probably should be going to a health committee. Just another kind of barrier that he's putting up to this bill. So we want to see it forward. It's a good bipartisan win that everybody can be proud of if we can make sure that it gets the assembly floor this time. It's already headed to the Senate, I believe. So it's something that we're looking at doing soon.
Yeah. Senator Ratcliffe is back with us now as well. And so let me go on to my final question here about the April 1st election. Somewhat surprisingly, one of the points that came up at our forum last night was, okay, we've talked about reproductive rights, we've talked about education, but one real stake of the Supreme Court race is that a new conservative majority could strike down the fair maps that we've only had for one election cycle. Senator Ratcliffe, what would be the damage of that if we return to gerrymandering?
Sorry about my technical difficulties.
No worries.
So I think that question was for me.
Yes, about gerrymandering and going back. Yes.
Yeah, it would be like detrimental, right? Like the stakes are high in this race. And I've endorsed Susan Crawford. She is the right candidate. I wasn't able to watch the debate last night, but she is steady and understands what a judge should do to be impartial, as opposed to Brad Schimmel, who just will back whatever Republicans want him to do, ultimately, is what I've seen from his ads. So it's so important to vote April 1st. Abortion rights and fair maps are on the ballot. Public education is on the ballot. And what I've heard from so many people is that public education is so important and mm-hmm. something that we really need to fund in the budget and that we need to make sure gets done for our state.
And that's where
vote April 1st.
Again, the importance of voting on April 1st. Senator Melissa Ratcliffe, Representative Alex George, thank you both so much. Can't wait to talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat.
And when we come back, we will talk to Luke Mathers and wrap things up for Up North News Radio on a Thursday morning on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Nevada Senate Bill 406 made it a felony to harass or intimidate election workers. In a federal appeals court March 7th, four right-wing activists claimed that the law is too vague and could allow them to be unfairly intimidated against participating in the election process. SB 406, signed by Republican Governor Joe Lombardo in May 2023, was unanimously passed in both houses of the legislature after threats to Nevada election workers following the 2020 and 2022 elections. Under the new law, individuals who intend to interfere with the conduct of an election or retaliate against election officials could face up to 4 years in prison. It also protects election workers from doxing, disseminating their personal information. The Reno Gazette Journal reports that the plaintiffs used a 2020 social media post by Attorney General Aaron Ford to demonstrate that the law was too vague and itself could be viewed as intimidation. Ford's post read in part, "FYI, voter intimidation is illegal in Nevada. Believe me when I say it, you do it and you will be prosecuted," unquote. The case, dismissed in federal circuit court for lack of evidence, is backed by wealthy election denier and plaintiff Robert Beatles. Depending on the Ninth Circuit's decision, it could be challenged further in the U.S. Supreme Court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. This says 1975, doesn't it?
It could have been me, but it was you.
One more for Neil Sedaka turning 86 years old today. Bad Blood with Elton John doing the background singing with him, but not credited on the record because he wasn't that big of a deal yet. Luke Mathers, always good-looking and confident, handsome and capable, joining us from just across the hall from me here at the Civic Media Global HQ. Mr. Mathers, good morning, and thank you for getting me set up for this morning's broadcast. Broadcasting from studio, what is this, A2? Is that what you call this room?
That's the short of it, yes.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Right next to the brooms are right over here someplace. Mm-hmm. And yeah, yep. But thanks for all that. How are things down here?
Oh, we're doing great. It's been a busy week, and mm-hmm. there's still a lot to be done between now and we're racing towards April 1st.
Yes,
so
we
are. It's kind of a full sprint now, 2.5 weeks until Election Day here in Wisconsin. You don't have to wait. You can make a plan and be a voter already. So absentee ballots are out. You can request them. You can be returning them to your local clerk. You can wait until Tuesday, do in-person absentee voting if you'd like, but don't wait to make a plan. So already be thinking about it. We got 2.5 weeks until Election Day, and that's the deadline to vote, not the first time to start thinking about voting here in Wisconsin.
That's nice. What is that low rattle I was hearing there? Do you have like a little fan going or a little diffuser for your essential oils, or what's the story over there?
Well, in getting to try to get you all set up, I'm not hearing it myself, but it may be the fan of my laptop, which is why I asked. It was great. I don't have my main microphone with me because I was trying to get into the studio with you. And
folks, what you're hearing is the first laptop ever built back in 1904. It's gone. There he is.
There you go. I don't know what you did, but there you go. All right.
Good looking and confident.
I got to give credit though to the folks behind the scenes there, and Luke is one of them. Some of the time, sometimes he's in front, sometimes he's in the back. He's like the Civic Media mullet. But there are folks behind the scenes that helped with the setup of this event, and again, Matthew Goldstein from Courier Newsroom flew out here from out east to help set up this event, and he worked with the folks at the Overture Center, which is right across the street here from Civic Media. And they were amazing. The Overture Center crew was wonderful. But to get a broadcast done from any place, even across the street, was no easy task. Plus, you're trying to live stream it on all the social platforms, you know, on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram. So you had somebody working just on live streams as well. I almost wish we had somebody with a camera just documenting all the setup to it. And I got a feeling, Luke, you and some of your colleagues wish that every day, that somebody was just seeing what all has to happen for one person to flip a microphone and say hello to everybody. It's harder than it looks.
It's a lot that goes into it. And one day we'll have our own version of the Office documentary where you just see the camera crew kind of everywhere and just me doing the gym look at the cameras. When
I
something
was gonna you know, ask yep. Who's gonna be our gym? Of course, it's
you. Yeah. You know, I see you thinking that, but I mean, You are kind of our Dwight, you're a Dwight Schrute over
if,
here.
If I had to choose, I think that it would either be Craig or Creed. Those would be the two options if I truly got to choose.
Well, let's continue on with this casting here. Todd Alba.
I'm a warehouse guy.
Todd Alba, is he Pam?
No.
Let's see. No? Okay.
I would say Todd. Actually, I would say, now that you're really making me think about this, I would say Todd is probably... I would give him Mark Creed. He's the guy. He lives on his own terms. He does his own thing.
No, what's the name of the sales guy that's always on the road and always going other places? I can't think. That would be the Todd. Todd loves going out and doing a road show. So it's got to be he's got to be the road salesman.
I can't think of the character's name. I love doing casting. Here's a story from TV days. This is in the mid 90s. I was a producer for the Noon News, and the guys in the control room like to have a little fun sometimes, and sometimes they would mess with the credits, and they would do casting, and so there was like Gilligan's Island casting, and so instead of Tom Benson, it was Gilligan Benson, and the producer was Skipper Kreitlow or whatever the case may be. And we do that with the Love Boat and with some other things. One day, the station manager and the sales manager are at a bar across the street having lunch, quote unquote. And the bartender starts laughing at the TV. And they go, "What are you laughing at?" "Oh, it puts the director as Alan Smithy." Well, Alan Smithy.
I get that. I know what that means.
Is the pseudonym that if a director hated the job so much, if they hated the final result, they wouldn't put their name on it. They'd put Alan Smithy. The bartender explains this. Needless to say, we got a talking to after that, and there were no more casting credits. Tales of TV. Oh, and I did promise the popcorn story as well from that terrible 1972 song. As second or third graders, we had to perform for the parents. Everybody had the little show, and the third grade show was to have a parachute, and we all ran around in a circle with the parachute, and they throw little Nerf balls in there, and then we bounced the parachute up and down so that the balls were bouncing up and down.
Popcorn.
Like popcorn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To this song. I still have nightmares about it.
Yeah. Carnival nightmare fuel. Welcome to the ride of your life. You'll never forget. You may
talk
never
so
survive.
Much about serious politics and policy and the ramifications here on Up North News Radio. And then we give you bad 70s songs and third graders dancing. We are the full schmear right here.
It's full service show. Make a plan, be a voter, and tune into your Wisconsin Badgers in the Big Ten tournament.
That's right. Coming up at 12:30 today. Luke Mathers, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Greg Beck. Greg Bach is back. Greg Bach is back. And 2 hours for Matt Nair on air. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Thanks to all of you for being part of this. I'm heading back up north. We'll see you there tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff has now landed in Moscow for talks with Russian officials on the ceasefire agreement that Ukraine has approved. ABC's James Longman with more on what Russian President Vladimir Putin is looking for.
Putin wants a permanent plan which would see him keep some 20% of Ukraine that he is currently occupying. But Donald Trump has been threatening sanctions if he doesn't agree. He said that if Vladimir Putin doesn't agree to this plan, that he could make some decisions which would be financially devastating for Russia. But he said, I don't want to do that because I want to get peace.
As tariffs and retaliatory tariffs kick in, Secretary of State Marco Rubio is meeting with his Canadian and European counterparts for the next 2 days as part of the G7 summit. A massive cross-country storm on the move. There are evacuations in Southern California as the threat of heavy rains, flooding, and mudslides hit some burn-scarred areas. This is ABC News.